Good afternoon and welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. I'm in the studio with my sweet sisters, Miss Tanya.
Hi, Sandy.
She's waving. and Miss Tara. And,
hi, y'all.
We were, last time we were together, we were on Joshua 4, and it was about remembrance and the stones that God commanded them to leave for every generation to understand and go back and remember. And, you know, we're called to remember. I know I was thinking about this just this week about my life stones. You know, of course, number one, accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. But there's so many of them. This week is going to be exciting. We're doing Joshua 5, and it's all about obedience. That word.
Wow. You know, Sandy, I was just thinking as you said that, I bet you have been looking at your life stones because you're packing.
Packing to move to
you
a new
really are
house.
In a season of remembrance, aren't you?
I am. You know, it's good, but it's bittersweet since my Steve's not with me. But yeah, moving to my new normal, I call it, and not sure what God's leading me to, but it's going to be exciting, I'm sure.
I know so. Whatever it is, you'll be obedient.
I'm praying I'll be obedient.
You will be.
Especially after today.
Yes, right. Yeah. This is going to convict us, guys.
You know, Joshua 5, I was just telling Tanya and Sandy that this passage, I just keep going over it. You know, I wrote this years ago, and here we're going through this. I'm trying to tighten up this study, and at first, my initial reaction was, oh, great, Joshua 5. Like, there's anything in Joshua 5. You know, what could God teach me from Joshua 5? Oh, me of little faith, right? And God's like, okay, I'll show you. And every day as I've picked it up just to help it get back into my heart, into the flow of what God had for me, He has revealed to me some new truths, and I just have rampant notes of crazy handwriting of different things He's been revealing all week. But coming out of, I just returned from the International Orality Conference that was in Estes Park, Colorado, and they have speakers from all over the world, missionaries, pastors, leaders, organization leaders, sharing how God is on the move in the nations. And one of the things that we did is we looked at our past, and then we looked at our present, what is going on, and how we can have the past help us in our present. And then what they did is they gave us where we looked at current tools being used in the nations of getting the gospel out, and then we looked towards the future of what God was having us do. And I thought, this is crazy. That's exactly what is going on in Joshua 5. And almost all of the speakers were talking about seeing a movement of God, having the eyes and ears to see it, but not just to see it, but to join God. And as I read through Joshua 5 again this morning, God allowed me to see how everything I just heard at Ion affirms everything that we're going to look at in the next 4 weeks in Joshua, because this really is about the movement of God. And the key factor we're looking at is obedience. And what we have to understand is spiritual preparation is what gives us the advantage over anything around us. And so as we look at the story, I want you to keep that in mind, and I want you to be thinking about the spiritual preparation and what acts of obedience you see. And when it refers to disobedience, what happens? And then what happens when obedience occurs again? Because there's a circle within that. And then we'll look at it in dialogue. Okay, so in Joshua 5, it's, all right, you remember they have set the stones. They've crossed the Jordan River, and God's done the miraculous thing for them. And that, you know, they were able to all make it across. And now here they are standing on this between the river and Jericho, okay? So that sets the stage. Here's the passage. Now, at this time, the Amorite kings in the west of the Jordan and the Canaanite kings who were along the coast, they had heard how God had dried up the Jordan on behalf of the Israelites when they crossed. And their hearts were melted. They no longer had the courage to face the Israelites because they had seen what God could do. And at this time, the Lord spoke to Joshua, and he said, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites. So Joshua made flint knives, and he circumcised the Israelites. Now, the reason why he had to do this is because when they left Egypt all the men that were of military age have since died. They died in the desert. And the people that had come out of Egypt that were born had not been circumcised. They had not yet done it. Because, see, as the Israelites were moving around in the desert for 40 years, they had to wait until everybody died because they had disobeyed God. And the Lord had made had sworn to them that he would not allow them into the promised land of the land flowing with milk and honey because of their disobedience. So he allowed their sons to be raised up, and then they're the ones that needed to be circumcised. And so the whole nation was circumcised, and the whole nation had to remain still until they were all healed. Mm-hmm. Now, at this time, the Lord came to Joshua and he says, "Today, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt upon you. And we will call this place Gilgal." Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was the 14th of the month, and they were camping at Gilgal in the plains of Jericho. And so they celebrated. It just happened to be, it was the time of Passover, and they were celebrating Passover. It was just God's timing is perfect. And the day after Passover, they ate the produce in the land. Mm-hmm. They had unleavened bread and roasted grain. And the very next day, the manna stopped. They were no longer eating manna. And that year, they had the privilege of eating the produce of Canaan. Now, Joshua was near Jericho, and he looked up, and all of a sudden he saw this man standing with a sword brandishing beside him. And he looks at him, and he says, "Are you for us? Are you for our enemies?" "Neither," the man replied. "I am the commander of the army of the Lord. I come." And Joshua fell to the ground, and he says, "Well, what message does the Lord have for his servant?" And the commander of the army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the ground you stand on is holy ground." And Joshua did exactly as he asked. And that is the end of Joshua 5. It's a rich passage, mm-hmm. a rich, rich passage. And what we have in here is we see how the other nations are observing God's hand upon the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. They saw the miraculous parting of the sea. Mm-hmm. We have God talking to Joshua and wanting to help the nation to get ready and be prepared because he's about to send them into Jericho, but yet they have an aspect of obedience that has not been honored. Because they've been wandering for 40 years, they have not been following through with circumcision. Mm-hmm. And so the military men of the Israelites that died off had been circumcised before they began the journey, but all of the children that were raised up had yet not been done. And so they, as a nation, have really an act of obedience they need to follow through with before they can go in, because the circumcision was done to demonstrate that they were set apart mm-hmm. unto the Lord. And so he reminded them what needs to happen. That was their spiritual preparation. Mm. And as I was pondering yesterday morning, I was blown away because I was sitting here thinking, I'm like, can you imagine? Okay, here Joshua's standing, and behind him he has got the Jordan River, and he has the stones, and he has the miraculous movement of God. Mm-hmm. Before him, he has Jericho, a fortified city with every known weapon of destruction that has men on the lookout that can see every hand movement of the nation of Israel because they are looking down upon them in the plains of Jericho. So he's standing between the river and Jericho, and he knows that they can see. And God says, "Circumcise every male."
Yeah.
Okay, seriously, so you're saying take out every single person that is able to stand
and fight. And protect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that crazy? Uh-huh. And there is no delay. Scripture says, at this time, God says, make flint knives, circumcise them. Yeah. Joshua made the flint knives did it.
It's almost as if God wanted to remove any aspect of human might to protect them.
I know.
And now it's all the Lord.
All God.
Yeah. I know. I got goosebumps, Daniel, when you said that. I just totally. And I was praying this morning. I'm like, God, forgive me. often, I mean, on simple things. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking a major war battle like what they were about to face. I'm talking stupid daily whatevers, or I think it's not possible.
And I think sometimes we forget that.
I do.
You know, I do too. We had one of our studies talked about when are you stronger in the Lord, when you have the difficulties or in the daily? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, on the daily, because I know he's with me in the difficult times, but boy, you forget he's there for every little minute little...
Everything.
You know, yes.
It's his.
Yep.
If we spiritually
if we let
prepare
that's right.
and obey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when we see the movement of God, that's what we have to have ourselves spiritually prepared. We have to do what is necessary to make us consecrated, to be set apart in his behalf. And we'll, over the next few days, we're actually going to look at the scriptures that prepare our, how to prepare our hearts. But I'm just sitting here thinking, this is crazy. I'm thinking exposure. And enclosure. I mean, they are exposed and they're enclosed. So it's not that they're just exposed and they can run to safety. They got flood stage behind them because we already read that the water went back
to flood stage.
That's right.
And so
no going back that way.
No going back.
There is no return.
That's a lesson in itself for us.
I know.
You don't want to go back.
I know. God, this is incredible. And then all of a sudden, he has this person. And I thought, how bold of Joshua. Are you for us? Are you against us? You know, who are you? And then when he hears that he's the commander of the Lord's army, it's like, boom, flat face down on the ground. Mm-hmm. You know,
reverence.
I'm your servant. What does the Lord want of me? And that's what he desires of us.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
That quickness of saying, I am your servant. What do you want of me?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want of me? So when we are confronted with whatever it is that he brings before us, what do you want of me? I'm like, oh, yes, Lord. And scripture's so simple. And it just says, and Joshua did so.
Mm-hmm.
He says, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. And I read in one commentator, I think it was the Holman commentary, or it was in the new the Bible commentary, it's one of those two, I can't remember now. They said the act of him untying his sandals and taking them off was the affirmation that he understood
that
this is
holy
ground. And so that is a symbolic act of what, you know, okay, I'm taking myself even further in humility because he's not even going to have the sandals on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is it that we need to have? And as if God wanted to make this whole lesson real to me, the other day I'm sitting and I have a paper I'm working on and I have all these edits and I'm just kind of dreading my day. And I'm thinking, you know, and I think I whined about it on Facebook. I'm like, I must read, I must read edits, and I must rewrite. This is my day kind of thing. And all these words of encouragement are coming in and everything. And I just knew what my day was set apart to be. Well, we were waiting for the furnace guys to come to do our check, because, you know, getting our furnace ready. And I'm just focused in on my writing, focused on drawing near to God and praying and surrendering and submitting. And I went outside to actually do my writing just because I feel closer to God. And it's so gorgeous out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy shows up. I didn't throw out any fillers to see if he was, like, ready for any kind of God conversation. I was just getting him ready to go down to the furnace. And, of course, somebody had been in the furnace room, and all of the Christmas packaging was in front of the furnace. I had to move all this wrapping paper. And I'm bending over, moving all this stuff, so embarrassed because I got to get everything ready. And he says to me, oh, I know so-and-so. So-and-so goes to West Side. And I thought, why did he say West Side?
Mm.
And he goes, I'm like, West Side? How'd you know about West Side? And I'm trying to think, what's in my room, my furnace room, that he can tell I'm at West Side Church?
Yeah.
And he says, it's on your sweatshirt.
Oh,
I forgot. I was wearing my pageant sweatshirt. And I'm like, yeah, that's where I go. And he says, well, I've been to your pageant. And the next thing I know, we begin this conversation. And he begins, I mean, it was like one of these moments where I looked up and are you friend or foe? And all of a sudden, this person begins to share with me his story.
His story. I had that same thing happen to me this morning with the painter that came to touch up for my new owners. It was just, like he just laid out his whole story to me.
Yeah,
you know, we got to talk about God.
I didn't ask him to. I did nothing. It was
neither.
I was so surrendered because I was struggling. I got conviction from my friends. Actually, it was my missionary friend in Brazil, and the things that she was writing to me on Facebook caused me to get on my face and just beg God to forgive me and that I have that divine appointment and meet him on holy ground. And this guy came in. I did nothing.
Yeah.
To want to show him the presence of God.
Right.
And he knew. He shared with me his struggle with religion, his struggle with the church, his struggle with Christianity, his struggle with a couple of different types of cult organizations.
Really?
And wanting to see authenticity.
Yeah.
And God, over the time that he was there, allowed me to story, I don't even remember how many different aspects of Bible stories that related to the circumstances. He left a good friend.
Mm.
I mean, it was just, I fell in love with this man. He just, somebody is like, God, I pray somehow you allow our family the privilege to see them walk in obedience to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when we're in the presence of God, this lesson reveals to us that it sanctifies that which is unholy. It sanctifies that which is strange. It sanctifies that which is estranged, separated. It sanctifies that which is defiled.
Mm.
Any aspect that if we are in the presence of God, when those things encounter us and we've been in his presence, God sanctifies that because his presence cannot be denied.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, why would I ever want to deny the presence of God being evident in me? But I do in my disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
We all do.
In a split second.
Oh, yes.
And so that opportunity would not have been there if my friend who's in Brazil had not said something that convicted me, that caused me to get on my face and confess it before God.
Right.
And, you know, why would I want to rob myself of that privilege of being able to share the Lord?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is interesting. I don't know how much time we have.
We're good. We've got a minute.
Okay. Well, I just shared a little bit recently on worship and sharing about how the priests in the temple, you know, their process of cleansing, which is exactly what you did, get on your face before the Lord and confess and repent and turn from that and surrender it and sacrifice it. It's just what the priests did so that they could experience God's presence in that way. And unless we are cleansed in the moment, then
and
we
that
can't.
And that is the moment.
We can't be and carry his presence into the
presence
of others.
Yeah. We can't. Mm-hmm. And Joshua led the nation to circumcise themselves so that they were set apart for the kingdom of God. It did not matter that Jericho had the advantage. It did not matter that all they had was slingshots and stones.
Yeah.
They had the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the land they were standing on was holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
Come back next week. God bless.